Hey, Father Don.
Hi, Ed.
What time is it?
It's friar time.
From Our Lady of Sorrows Monastery in Chicago, Illinois, and Servite High School in Anaheim, California, it's friar time. Today's topic, a conversation with Brother Arnaldo. And now, here are your hosts, Father Don Seipel, OSM, and Mr. Ed Murphy.
Hello, thank you for spending some friar time with us. I'm Ed Murphy, and with me is Servite Friar, Father Don Seipel, OSM. Hello, Father Don.
Hi, Ed. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
We are very blessed today, Father Don and I, to have a special guest, Brother Arnaldo Sanchez. Hello, Brother Arnaldo.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
Hanging in there. May 1st is International Religious Brothers Day, which they place on the feast of St. Joseph the Worker to recognize the work that religious brothers do in the world, really, for the church and serving the people of God. I think first off, though, if Father Don, if you could share with us a little bit about what it means to be a brother, first of all, as a religious, as a friar, what is that all about?
In consecrated life, consecrated religious life, early on in the formation of both solitary religious life and community life, men would come to wanting to serve the Lord. And maybe did not feel called to serve the Lord as an ordained minister of the church. So consecrated lay brothers are men who take the same vows as a religious priest would, live in the same community, undergo the same formation, but express their baptismal consecration, their vowed commitment to Christ, ministerially different than a priest would. So Brother Arnaldo would do different. He and I actually worked in two parishes together. So I would be more on the sacramental side, where Brother Arnaldo was our faith formation director. So he would use his talents and gifts as a religious brother, in the same call to religious life as mine, but would express it differently. Would that be correct, Brother Arnaldo?
That is correct. We would express it differently. You would be more responsible for the sacrament part of it, and I would be at the other end for the preparation to receive the sacraments, etc.
Yeah. We know from the history of the order that our seven founders who founded the order in 1233 that two, maybe three were ordained, but the rest were not. So early on in the history of the community, we have the expression of both ordained and non-ordained friars living together, working together, sharing the charism of the order together in community, but doing different functions for the same cause of building and nurturing the community.
So since the beginning of the order, it's been brothers and priests working together, living together to serve Mary.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And my understanding, there are some religious communities that are brothers. They are brother religious communities.
Yeah. Actually, in the development of religious life, especially apostolic life, which is kind of from the Jesuits forward, you have kind of a different interesting thing. You've got communities of brothers like the Marist Brothers, the Christian Brothers of the Schools, the Edmund Rice Christian Brothers, who are simply brothers. There are not ordained people among them. But then you also have the Marianists, who are a brother community, but have about 30% of them are ordained. And my understanding is when Father Chaminade founded the community, he did not want a community of ordained priests. He wanted them to be brothers first. But some of the brothers would seek ordination so that they could serve the community. So the Marianists, while they have about 30% of their community are ordained, they are first and foremost brothers to each other. We would say the same thing, although we tend to be heavily more clerical. We are brothers first. And so we live our religious life. Our religious life is most important to us. Secondary is our ministry, whether we do that as a brother or as an ordained priest. So the effect of being brothers is far more important to us. And, you know, in all the brothers' communities of the church, I named three wonderful ones there. Many, you know, they all do significant work. Many of them are in education. The Alexian brothers are in healthcare. Many of them have made, all of them, in fact, have made significant contributions to the church's mission of proclaiming the gospel. So our church, our order, has been enriched by the presence of brothers who continue to do phenomenal work.
The very term friar, doesn't that derive from some Latin mm-hmm. phrase that means brother?
Yeah, yeah. So, it means from frater, it means brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means brother.
Brother Arnaldo, let's turn the attention on to you. What brought you to the Servite?
I met the friars when I was 33 years old. I actually worked for a Servite parish in Kissimmee, Florida as a business manager.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that was your background? Business was your background?
Business was back, yeah. Corporate America, business, the retail management side, and then the corporate America part of it.
Wow.
That's what I did. But then as I grew older and got out of corporate America and moved to Kissimmee, Florida, my family at that time, and still is, were worshiping at a Servite parish. And when I moved to Kissimmee, Florida, I started looking for a job, and I actually found a job was offered to me at the parish at St. Catherine as a business manager. So I took it. I had the experience in business, and I took that job, and that's how I met the Servites. Eventually, I met the secular order there, and I became a promised member of the secular order. And during that same time, I met Father Don Seipel.
Oh, no.
Part of this interview, because he was the national director of the secular order, but he was also the vocation director.
Ah.
So as they say, laying terms, it was a double whammy there of recruiting Arnaldo, Brother Arnaldo. And but the invitation was made by the pastor to attend a vocation retreat in Chicago.
Who was pastor at that time?
Vidal Martinez.
Oh, Father Vidal. Very
cool. Father Don was, again, the secular order national assistant or director and the vocation director. Actually, Father Don received my promises to the secular order. And then,
at the same time, my parents, wasn't it the same?
Exactly, at the same time as your parents, as your mom and dad, correct. Yeah. And then it was through Father Don's discernment process that I joined the Servites.
And so you went on a retreat in Chicago.
I came to a retreat in Chicago, and providentially there were six others, so... Oh, I wow. took that as a sign as well, Seven Holy Founders, you know. but I came to Chicago for the vocation retreat, which was a very, very good experience. It opened my eyes to the true charism of the order, though I had identified with it with the secular order. But coming to Chicago, to the heart and life of the Servite Order was very, very powerful for me.
And then I'm sure there's a question a lot of people ask you. Why didn't you go into priesthood? Why didn't you get ordained? Was that something you just never felt called to? When you were a teenager or in your 20s, did you feel that call?
You did. Yes. In my second year of college in Puerto Rico, because by that time I was living in, I did my last 2 years of high school in Puerto Rico. And then I did 2 years of college in Puerto Rico at the Pontifical Catholic University of Puerto Rico. But my second year and my first year of college, I was discerning the priesthood, actually, for the Diocese of Arecibo. And I did apply, and I was accepted, and I entered.
Oh, really?
So I was a seminarian for the Diocese of Arecibo, Puerto Rico. And I did manage to, I was there 3 years as a seminarian, and I got my bachelor's in philosophy. But after graduation, I decided that I wanted to take a leave because there were a lot of things that I wanted to do in life and accomplish. I wanted to work, travel, own a home, etc., all of those things.
Yeah.
And I figure I was young. I was, 24, 25 when I graduated from college the first time, that I needed to allow myself that experience so that I would not have any regrets.
That's so smart.
So I asked for leave, and it granted, and I never went back. By that time, my life had taken off in many directions. But deep down inside of me, I knew that at some point I would return to the church. I didn't know if as a priest or as a religious, but I knew that at some point in my life I would return, continue with my vocation. And the thought at that time was, when I get old and I am in receiving social security, I'll find an order. Here's my social security. Give me room and board. That was my thought. But I ended up leaving my corporate America job. That was in Atlanta, Georgia, by the way. And I ended up in Kissimmee, Florida. And just life completely changed for me. And though I was not discerning when I moved there, I just wanted to move. I just wanted to, again, a change in life. And I was a little bit burned out after 11 years, I think.
Yeah.
In corporate America. Well, my last 5 years were corporate. My first five or six were at the retail level, at a store level, managing a $200,000 store a day.
Oh, man.
And the credit union, a bunch of stuff. Anyway, yeah. So that's how come I ended up in Florida. And again, I had no intention of seeking religious life. I just wanted a change in life. But I think it was the Lord that was leading me.
Led
me there. Because when I left Atlanta, I said, Lord, I place everything in your hands. Let it be you who guides me. I don't know. I'm going blindly. I cashed out on stock, bonds, everything I had. Because I knew that moving to Kissimmee, Florida, jobs were not readily available. But anyway, just to make a long story short, I end up at this parish where my family was worshiping and were actually founding members of the Mission of St. Catherine, along with Father Vidal and a lot of other people. And one day, Father Vidal, and it's in my call to serve, one day, though I didn't mention him by name, Vidal extended an invitation to attend their vocation retreat. This is now from here, but... he gave me the flyer and says, would you like to go to a Survive Vocation retreat in Chicago? And as I wrote, I said, no, I don't want to be a priest. He said, in order to be a religious, you don't have to be a priest. And that's where it all clicked for me at that time.
It is amazing how God works. I am telling you, it is amazing.
And here I am, 20 some odd years later.
Now, did you have knowledge of the Servites before going to Florida?
Before, not really. The only thing I knew about the Servites comes from the tradition of the patroness of Puerto Rico, Our Lady of Divine Providence, which is mentioned in the historical documents of how that devotion came to Puerto Rico and how it started in Italy and then it moved to Spain. And it's attributed to St. Philip Benizi as praying to divine providence to take care of our brothers, our friars, and provide for them. That was the only notion or mention of Servites that I knew before I ever came to Florida.
So, Brother Arnaldo, when you went to Chicago on that retreat, was there a kind of a feeling like, wow, this could be home? Or were you still very much questioning, like, I don't know if this is something I want to do? And if where did it become where you felt like this is something I could see myself doing or being a part of?
Actually, when I came to the retreat in Chicago, it brought it home. It brought it home. I felt not 100%, but I felt comfortable that I could make the decision. The only thing that held me back was a 33-year-old man who has had a life, who apartment, with everything. How do I let go of everything?
Right.
Start all over from scratch. And that was part of the discernment journey. So getting to know the secular order and being part of the secular order was also very instrumental in my journey, in my discernment of self-discovery and of really trying to discern what God wanted of me. And I knew that once I became a member of the secular order, that that I had the vocation and that I needed to continue to discern and follow it through. And that's what I did. I mean, I had a lot of help along the way, a lot of wonderful people. Father Don, his mom and dad were always encouraging. Bernadette Million, Father Vidal Martinez, and all the members of the secular order who were behind me, encouraging me, praying for me, guiding me. So when it came time to make that decision, I remember on Holy Thursday, I got a call from Father Don Seipel. If you want to enter, you know, next year at this time, I need you to make a decision by December.
Yep. That sounds like Father Don.
That sounds like Father Don, yes. And I said, I will have an answer for you. And I don't know how long it took me to answer, but I did.
Yeah.
I did. And we began the paperwork, and it was a long process, but we began the paperwork. And when it came time, the letting go was easy. The letting go of what I had accumulated, acquired, and done in my life up to that point was easy.
Wow, that's cool.
But I think too, I think what's important about having a date is a couple of things too. I think first of all, on our side, on the order side, we have to plan for, you know, having a program in place for those entering formation. But I think on the side of the discerner, you know, a decision has to be, at some point, discernment has to stop, or at least this part of discernment to religious life. And, you know, like if our brother Arnaldo would have said, you know, I'm not ready yet, then another year. But, you know, after about 2 or 3 years of somebody saying, well, I think I'm going to do this, and then they don't, at that point there, you got to kind of say, you're really not going to do this.
Right.
You know, there's something nice, there's something warm and fuzzy about being in discernment groups and that, and I think that's important. But I think part of discernment, part of our role as vocation directors is to help people also kind of complete this part of the discernment. Yes, I want to enter. No, I need to wait a little bit. Okay, well then, you know, and if people want to wait, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, then call us when you think you're ready, and we'll initiate the formation, the discernment process. I think it's easy sometimes for people who are a little scared. I'm not putting anybody down. We all in discernment can be kind of a scary thing because God's asking us to do something that we don't know if we have the ability to do so or if we feel worthy, all of which God will take care of, and God does. But at some point, too, in discernment, we have to be willing to have the courage to make a decision. And I think that's where, as vocation directors, we need to help people along. And if they say no, God bless you. You know, we're grateful for the conversations with you. Hope people have grown. If people say, you know, I need to take a break, absolutely. We're here to help you when you feel it's time to continue the discernment. And for people who say, yes, we want to join, wonderful. We're grateful, and we'll start the process and get you going. And so I think having helping people to finalize that part of this discernment, I think, is an incredible point and a incredible part of what we do as vocation directors.
I agree. Yeah, that was a pivotal moment in my life when that call came and said, well, if you're ready to enter, if you want to enter in such and such a date, we need to start working at that. And I think that's, I mean, I said I'll call you back later, but I think that was the moment.
Yeah.
The moment I realized that this was going to come to fruition and that I was going to join the order and that I was willing to go through whatever I needed to do in that other part of the discernment journey, the application process to become a servite. And plus, I think I was fortunate enough to have more connections to Father Don because of the secular order and because of his multiple visits to Kissimmee, to the parish, to do ongoing formation for the secular order and et cetera, and promoting the secular order. So I had a little bit more access, I believe, than many other discerners. And I think that helped a lot. That helped me a lot. In that first year, I got newsletters from Father Donald. I got books to read, phone calls, etc. So that was very helpful. And again, you have to realize I was 33 years old, and on my way into, you know, adulthood and full adulthood, and a lot of things, you know, ran through my mind about all of this. But thank God I just gave myself completely to that discernment process and to begin that journey. And here I am.
I think I gave you an Arnaldo, the advice I gave other people when they enter formation is, you know, come with a clean slate. Come with no expectations.
You did.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is because, you know, some people, you know, I always tell the story, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to join the order to be a missionary. God had a whole different plan for me. And I think, you know, we have people who, well, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. All wonderful, all great ministries that the church needs in its proclamation of Christ. But I think what happens in the discernment, the ongoing discernment that happens in initial formation, is that oftentimes what people want with the interformation is not what God gets them ready for. And I don't know if that was your perspective, Arnaldo.
That was, yes. That was my perspective. I mean, I came in with just an open mind and no baggage. I just wanted to begin the journey. I think the only thing I had was really... I mean, I grew up in a household that was totally devoted to Mary. My first prayer that I learned, I think even before the Our Father, was the Salve Regina, the Hail Holy Queen, in Spanish, because we recited it a lot at home. And I think the only thing that I came to when I entered formation was just that charism of devotion to Mary and trying to grow to emulate Mary's discipleship. I think that was the only thing I came in with.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's good, because I think that's part of what we encourage people in discernment is to keep looking at Our Lady. She's so much a part of our charism. It's so much a part of how we understand our own experience in common life and in ministry is through Mary. So that's, like I said, it's one of the questions I ask people on a discernment. What's your devotion to Mary like? You know, and part of the pre-novitiate program is we do a whole module of classes on Mary. And part of it is teaching people our devotion to Mary You know, our understanding of Mary at the foot of the cross, which is the preeminent experience of who Mary is and what she teaches us that. So, you know, and that was something I said that, you know, Arnaldo, when you and I discerned, you know, that presence of Mary in your life was incredibly, incredibly powerfully present. And that's, I think, one of the things that if we go back to our initial discernment as friars, I think we often realize that Mary was probably more there than we thought she was. I told the story about my mother and her devotion to the rosary. My devotion to Our Lady is my mother's devotion and more now. It started as hers, as I'm sure your wonderful mother, who's just a great lady, shared with you her own wonderful devotion to our mm-hmm. Blessed Lady. And we've taken that and we've grown that in our own life as friars. Yeah, so she's important. I think that's very clear to make that very clear. She's very much a part of who we are.
So you mentioned Puerto Rico. You grew up there or was your family from there?
Both. I grew up between Puerto Rico and Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
So I'm from the Northeast and I'm also from the Caribbean. But I was born in Puerto Rico.
Nice, nice. And still have family there?
I still have family there, correct.
Very cool. Brothers and sisters, Arnaldo, did you come from a large family?
Yes, or? I'm one of seven.
Oh, so community life wasn't such a shock then.
No, it wasn't. That's seven kids, mom, dad, and then anyone else who joined the family when they immigrated to the U.S., family nice. Members ended up in my home. So we always had a full house.
We are out of time here. Brother Arnaldo, would you be able to come back we could finish up this conversation, do a part two to this podcast?
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Father Don, quick blessing.
Absolutely. Father, we ask you to hear us with the intercession of Our Lady and St. Joseph and to give us mercy and peace and blessing on our day. We ask you to bless us, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father Don. If you would like more information about the Servants of Mary, you can go to our website at servite.org. If you would like to email either Father Don or I, you can email vocations@serviteusa.org. Big thank you to Brother Arnaldo. Thank you to James Forrester, the Director of Communications for the USA Province of the Servants of Mary. Thank you to the American Wake for the theme music. And a huge thank you to all of you for joining us for some Friar Time. So for Father Don Seifel, OSM, I'm Ed Murphy. Thank you for listening and God bless.